Catholic Radio now presents Faith in Action, a program that looks at how everyday people put their faith into action in their everyday lives. Our program is underwritten in part by Franciscan St. Francis Health, providing faith-based integrated health care, a recipient of HealthGrade's 2015 America's 100 Best Hospitals Award, and by Marian University, a great Catholic university dedicated to providing students with excellent teaching and learning in the Franciscan and liberal arts tradition, preparing transformative leaders for service to the world. And now, here's today's edition of Faith in Action. Welcome to another edition of Faith in Action here on Catholic Radio. I'm Jim Ganley, and our co-host is MJ Crowder. And you know, MJ, folks are going to get to hear a lot of you and me here shortly.
What? Why is that a bad thing, Jim? You say that. You say that like a lot.
No, I meant a lot of us.
This is a fun, but it's a fun thing. It's couched in fun. It's enjoyable. It is. Yeah.
We've got a share-a-thon coming up next week. As a matter of fact, the 7th and 8th, is that it?
7th and 8th. 7th and 8th. Wednesday, Thursday.
And we'll be on the air live from 6:30 in the morning till 9 in the morning, and then live again from 3:30 till 6 in the afternoon on both a Wednesday and a Thursday next week during our share-a-thon. And we'll have lots of interesting guests, and it'll be a lot of fun to listen to. Still need a little bit of help. If you can help us by answering the phones for a couple of hours. It's really simple. It is really simple. We give you a nice, comfortable desk and some donuts and coffee, and just wait for the phone call and jot down their name and the amount of their contribution to help us out. We can't do it without you, and we do need a couple more yet. So if you can volunteer just a little bit of time, please give us a call. 317-870-8400. 317-870-8400.
You know, every time you do this commercial for that, I think that it feels like deja vu, like the radio thing, because he gets into this cadence. Jim was kind of like born to be a radio guy, because he doesn't need any notes in front of him. He just gets into this cadence of the phone number and what you need to do, and it just is very natural. So you're naturally talented in that regard, Jim.
They call that the gift of blab.
Is that what they call that?
Yeah.
Okay, now it'll be fun. And I'll guarantee you this, volunteers, that once you come and volunteer, it will not be the last time. It will be the first of many, because it is so much fun. And you get to see the same faces. And actually, I think the volunteers kind of look forward to seeing the same group come through. But give us a call, 870-8400. You only need to give us a couple hours, maybe, and it's not too long. And we'll take good care of you, feed you. Our guest today on Faith in Action, you've heard this name in and around the Indianapolis area, in the Criterion, in the Star, on TV. I'm trying to think other places. It's been pretty much all over the place. Jennifer Trapezzano. Most recently, you will remember the name because she was in the Criterion and the recipient of the Archangel Gabriel Angels of Grace Award. Welcome, welcome, welcome.
Thank you.
I love that. I had not been aware of that award. I loved the Michael, Raphael, and Archangel. That was really beautiful.
Right. No, I agree. I hadn't heard of it until they reached out to me and offered me the award, and was kind of humbled and a little bit mind blown that I was going to receive something
very sweet.
So, yeah,
very sweet. You know, you will, if you're just now tuning in, you're thinking Trapezzano. That name seems very familiar, and you know, although I think that it's I remember the day or two afterwards here. It was all over the news. And, of course, listeners, it was that wonderful young man, early 20s, down by Holy Rosary Parish, going to Holy Rosary Parish in that area, taking a morning walk, and was just senselessly murdered. And we heard so much about him. You know, that this was a young man who was destined for sainthood. You know, he was a young man who took his apostolate as a young father very seriously. And so we heard a lot about that. And you kind of emerged this unwitting person in the news who I think you would have easily done away with all that and not had it.
Yes.
So we want to talk about several things today, Jennifer. What I'd like to start with is if you could tell us a little bit about your love story and how you met Nathan and how maybe you fell in love.
So we met at Ball State. We both were attending college there, and we were in similar friends group because we were both involved in FOCUS, the Fellowship of Catholic University Students. Right. Yeah. So we were both disciples and leading our own Bible studies. So we would get together with the groups and meet up periodically, monthly. And after we'd been in FOCUS for a while, we just started hanging out more and more. You know, I became more comfortable with the people in the group, and that became both of our friend circles. And, you know, slowly it started turning into sometimes we'd get groups together and then no one else could come and it would just be he and I.
As in quotes, no one else could come?
No, I think they couldn't, but I just thought of him as a friend. He was a very good friend, and I think he thought the same of me for a while, too. We enjoyed getting to know each other. We both had like-mindedness of, you know, what we wanted to do with our lives as far as our faith and the primary goals, and, you know, we just were having fun getting to know each other in our friends group. And there's this one weekend in October of 2010 that we went to a movie together, just the two of us, because everyone else had bailed. And it wasn't a date, and he told me later that he meant for it not to be a date because he had kind of been contemplating it but wanted to see how we did. And so we, like, both paid separately. We sat. We did share popcorn, but I had to chip in. And, you know, it was a good time. And so then later that week he called me and asked if I wanted to go to dinner with him that weekend. And I kind of thought nothing of it. Like, well, yeah, we'll both be in town. It was a holiday weekend, I think, or something that other people were going home for. And so him being from Pittsburgh, he didn't go home much. And so I was like, well, yeah, that'd be fine. We can grab a dinner. I didn't know if it'd be like dorm food or what. And so I just thought nothing of it. And I remember getting off the phone and turning to my friend who was with me, kind of hesitant. And I was like, I don't know if this was a date or not. He sounded kind of nervous, but he didn't mention anything. Well, the night before that, he called and told me he would pick me up at 7 and he had reservations.
Well, that sounds more like a yes. date. Yes.
So it kind of clarified that moment for me, and I was excited. I didn't, you know, until that moment, I hadn't really thought of him as something other than a friend. I tried to guard my heart. I didn't want to look at every potential guy out there as a future spouse. I wanted to kind of see where the Lord would take me. And, you know, we had that first date and talked the whole time. We ended up going out to dinner, and then after dinner, we left and then decided we didn't want the date to end, so we went and got dessert somewhere.
Aw, very sweet.
And then from then on, we just kind of, you know, continued to date throughout college, and he left. I had one more year left, and we continued a long-distance relationship, which was very difficult. In some ways, I'm so grateful for it, though, because he wrote me so many letters, and I have a box full of letters that are his words and things that I can physically share with Cecilia one day.
You know, if you're just now tuning in, listeners, our guest today, Jennifer Trapezzano, and she was recently in the news again. I think it hasn't been very many months that you have not been in the news, because it seems like every couple months we hear about you. You know, it was the month anniversary, then it was Christmas time, and then it's coming up on a year anniversary, and now this. So you've been in the news a lot. I think the whole community is heartbroken. I know I was. I know in my first email to you, I think last November, I mentioned that I had been praying for you. I never met you. We at the station talked about it here, the tragedy, and prayed for you. I know that I'm not unlike a lot of people who just, oh, you could have been my daughter. He could have been my son. And the outpouring of prayers, I hope that you felt it, because they certainly were sent your way. But it was a terrible tragedy. It sounds like you are moving past that into a different way. I mean, God is kind of leading you in a direction that you wouldn't have chosen, but it's happening. So I kind of want to talk a little bit about the apostolate. Mm-hmm. We are at a year past right now. Your little one is, well, you were, what, 7 months? Were you 7 months pregnant? How far along were you?
I was 35 weeks.
Oh, my goodness gracious. Okay, so.
Yeah, she's 16 months now.
16 mm-hmm. months.
Yeah.
Oh, my goodness.
She was born almost exactly, 3 weeks after he died. So it was a short but long 3 weeks. I was eagerly anticipating her birth, but also scared to death.
Sure.
As I was putting this together, I'm thinking there's so many different ways we could go. You know, our guest today, Jennifer Trapezzano, and I wanted you to talk about your husband. I wanted you to talk about how you met him. I also wanted you to talk about how, you know, if you look back to the very first days, I can't imagine how you even got out of bed, except knowing that you had a newborn that you had to care for.
Right.
But I look back at my notes from a year ago when I initially wanted to talk to you, mm-hmm. and it was all about redemptive suffering. And I know you've talked about that
right.
more than once. So I wonder if you could maybe share with our listeners a little bit. We're going to have to take a break, but maybe let's get started in this because this is a biggie. Redemptive right. suffering. Tell us about that, what that means to you, and how it's played a big part in your life.
I think ultimately, you know, after this happened, I didn't want to lose my faith in God. I knew where Nate strove to be. I knew in my heart where he was, and I knew how to get there. You know, a lot of people see a tragedy and they think, how could God allow this to happen? Well, we're human and he gave us free will. And that means that there are those who are going to take advantage of that against others who are doing good. And so I started, you know, reading a lot and looking into how could I make my suffering a good thing. And I'd heard the phrase redemptive suffering before, but I hadn't really truly understood what it could mean and the depths of how it could help me and others. I think that's one of the beauties of redemptive suffering is as you suffer, you try to make it better for not only you, but for those around you. And so basically what I found through kind of reading is that as we suffer, it can be offered up. It can be offered up similarly to how Christ offered up his suffering on the cross. You know, we can unite ourselves with his suffering on the cross to have that common bond with him, but also to, you know, give ourselves a little bit of it, our souls, to other people. You know, we can pray for those while we're suffering who are both living and not living. I often offer up my weaknesses and my own suffering, my heartache, for those in purgatory.
We need to take a break and we'll come right back.
Okay.
Since 1968, the Motion Picture Association of America has been rating movies based on violence, language, sexual content, etc. But what if their judgment as to what's appropriate for your family is different from yours? Wouldn't it be nice to get a second opinion? Maybe one from a Catholic perspective. Catholic News Service and the former Office of Film and Broadcasting of the U.S. Conference of Catholic Bishops have teamed up to continue the tradition of giving every movie a rating, one that you might find much more appropriate for your family. Where can you find these ratings? The easiest place is right on our website, CatholicRadioIndy.org. Right on the opening page, just look for the yellow Movie Ratings tab. When the kids ask, hey, can we go to the movies? Or you just want to go yourself, check out the Catholic movie ratings at CatholicRadioIndy.org. It never hurts to get a second opinion.
We know life can be a bit hectic, so you may not have the time to catch your favorite Catholic Radio Indy programs when they air. That's why we now have all of our weekend and weekday locally produced programs available on podcast. You can listen to Faith in Action, The Last Pew, and Catholic Jukebox Indiana, along with our newest shows, The Faith-Filled Physician and The Catholic Cave, anytime, 24/7, by going to our website, CatholicRadioIndy.org, click on the Programming tab, then go to Podcasts of Local Programs. All your favorites will be waiting for you right there so you can check out our local program offerings anytime. Catholic Radio Indy, your source for 100% Catholic programming on the air and now available on podcast.
Welcome back to Faith in Action. Our guest today, Jennifer Trapezzano. You know, I don't know how to say much more than that. That name just fills me with all kinds of memories. It fills me with happiness. I wish I had known more of him. But if I had known more of him, you wouldn't be telling this story today.
Right.
So before the break, we were talking a little bit about redemptive suffering. And I want you to go a little bit further into that because I think that, you know, the very first time I thought about it 15 years ago, someone mentioned it during a Bible study group. And It was the first time I'd heard it. I didn't think much about it. It was kind of a let me meditate on that for a little bit. And then something very tragic happened in my life about 10 years ago. And I remember laying in bed, and it was hard for me to even get out of bed that particular day. And a dear friend, in fact, a faithful contributor to Catholic Radio, called me. And she said, MJ, she said, if you can unite your suffering, offer this suffering, unite it with Christ's pain on the cross. And when she said that, I thought, I could try that. But you know, it's still difficult to mm-hmm. get from your pain, what you're experiencing, to that. That's a step. That's still a step.
Right.
So tell us about that, Jennifer, because there are people that are experiencing this now and that are listening right now and saying, okay, how do I do that? I want to. I understand. I'm in a lot of pain, but how do I do that? What do I do?
You know, I felt for me, the easiest way was just to look at a crucifix. You know, how can you see and feel pain any better than when you look at Christ physically suffering on the cross? I mean, I'm looking at one right here in this room, and, you know, since my tragedy with Nate and understanding the heartache that I felt with just losing him, I've been moved to tears by looking just simply at the crucifix. I mean, he loved the world so much. He loved all of us, and here I am just sad about losing Nate. You know, he was a beautiful, wonderful person, but he was one person. Christ died for all of us.
You know, one thing that strikes me about this whole conversation is you talk about redemptive suffering, and I think a lot of us, it's easy to picture that's the older person in the wheelchair in a nursing home. They're suffering, and there's nothing they can do about it, so they offer it up. And you think, okay, redemptive suffering, I understand that. But you don't talk about, you know, a young person offering things up and taking that kind of a mature approach.
Which is why I think this program was so important, yeah. And why I really wanted, I had hoped that you would agree to be our guest, and why I persevered, because I know that Nate's death rocked the community, mm. Not only the Catholic community, but the community downtown. The ripple effect was incredible.
Right.
How far? I mean, you had to be surprised by the outpouring of people who reached out to you. Tell us a little bit about that, because I mean, it's personal to begin with. You get the call, or if someone shows up on your doorstep. I don't even know. I don't remember how that was.
Yeah. But
tell us a little bit about that.
Well, I mean, when it happened, I went out looking for him. So
okay. No
one came to find me. I went and I found the cops, and, you know, it happened quickly, but it felt like an eternity before I actually knew what had happened.
Sure.
But yeah, I went home with my parents, and all of a sudden, you know, my picture is all over the news and his face is, and everyone knows our name. And, you know, I had thousands of people immediately start sending me messages and cards in the mail. Gifts for Cecilia, and I was so touched. I mean, you mentioned earlier that hopefully the prayers helped. I think I truly believe that they did. I don't know how she survived that stress. I don't know necessarily how I did, but I think God's hand was upon us, and I think all those prayers helped give us the strength to get through. You know, I still get some often messages and, you know, people reaching out and just letting me know they're praying for me or sending me something in the mail, and it definitely is touching, and it definitely helps, you know, give a light to even the dark moments I still have.
You know, so many times we hear about Jim, you and I've been to a number of funerals over the years, and, you know, we think during the week of the funeral and the preparing for the funeral that you get a lot of attention and you mm-hmm. get a lot of people who reach out to you. And I'm always fast forwarding in my head when I'm at a funeral about a year down the road or 2 years down the road. That's when they're really going to need it.
Right.
And I really try to make a mental note. I want to be that person that a year from now calls and says, talk to me.
Right.
Tell me another story about Nate. You know, tell me. And we're kind of at that point in your life. Of course, this award helped,
right.
You know, a little bit.
Right.
I don't mean to say helped, but I mean brought you back in the spotlight where people may be contacting you again.
Right.
But this apostolate is kind of an interesting thing, because this is a way of an ongoing support system.
Right.
That kind of fell out of the sky, if you will. So tell us a little bit about St. Paula's Young Catholic Widow Group.
So after Nate died, I didn't even want to utter the word widow. I mean, I was 25 years old. How could I be a widow?
Sure.
It just seemed so.
Doesn't happen.
Yeah, and you know, it couldn't be me. This I mean, even today, it still feels like a nightmare or a bad dream. It doesn't feel real. But I started, you know, even though I wouldn't say it out loud, you know, I was allowing it to sink into my heart and to let me know that it was real. This really did happen. And so I started reaching out to other Facebook groups that were for young widows, other, you know, looking through books and online resources, but all of them were very secular.
Now, explain that, because that was a question that I had written down, because in the article you mentioned you didn't want to take a secular approach.
Right.
And so I don't know if you were talking about psychobabble ways of dealing with death, or what were you talking about with that, really?
Just that, to me, the most important thing about dealing with this was not only keeping my faith, but getting it stronger.
Okay.
And I didn't feel that that would have grown in those groups. Some of the groups, there were people from all backgrounds. There were definitely Christians and probably even Catholics, but a lot of them would start just cussing about Storm, and I get the grief, I get the anger, but I also don't take that approach, and I didn't feel like it was bringing me closer to God. You know, they would talk about hooking up to satisfy physical needs, and that's not something that I'm interested in doing either, and don't feel like it would bring me closer to God. And so I was really just, you know, contemplating, like, how can I find a group of like-minded widows and women who can get through this grief and get through those times when you just want to cuss and yell and scream, but to do it in a godly manner. And I got in contact with a young widow in Florida. She actually heard my story through friends and kind of the media and reached out to me. And she had lost her husband. She was the same age as I was. She was also pregnant. And we just bonded. You know, we call each other our widow sisters. And
what are the chances?
Yeah,
what are the chances? Same situations,
yeah,
half a world apart.
Right. And, you know, so often we tell each other, like, we hate that we became friends because we know why we became friends, but I can't imagine life without her now. You know, it's just a beautiful friendship, and she's like my widow bestie. Her name's Christina Burkle. And so, you know, I kind of was talking to her. I was like, you know, I feel like we need to do something. Like, I'm so glad I found you, but what about all those other widows out there who haven't found that person to bring them closer to Christ and get through this tragic suffering? And I knew a couple other widows. I'd actually met one in Indianapolis. She was at her husband's grave just right down from where Nate is buried at the same time that I was. So I think the Holy Spirit was getting us in contact.
Oh my goodness.
And so,
what are the chances?
Yeah. She came over and she knew who I was and mentioned that she had just lost her husband. And so amongst us, we started this group, and it's just kind of taken off.
And this is through Facebook?
Yes.
Okay. So, and I'm going to repeat the name. And you know, Jim, you were making a really good point, because we've talked about how much you have been in the news lately. And you were actually in the Criterion, and you made a good point, because I know a lot of people recycle and toss the newspaper, or their husband reads it and says, I saw it, it's gone. So if you want to read the article in the Criterion, which is a great article, Jim, what you were mentioning, how they could access it, even though we're a month out, this was 6 weeks ago.
Right. A lot of the stories from the Criterion are online. I believe it's ArchIndy, ArchIndy, ArchIndy.org, and they can go on and read a lot of the articles there, and I'm sure that they just, you know, have a little search there, and you'll be able to find it without any problem.
Yeah, you can either put the name in, Jennifer Trapezzano. By the way, if you're just now tuning in, we're chatting with Jennifer about her apostolate, about her husband, the tragedy that it was, and coming out on the other side. The Criterion, I'm looking at it, it's a Friday, August 14th, if you want to look at the most recent article. And you were honored, Angels of Grace.
Yes.
The Benedictine sisters gave you a quite unusual and unexpected honor, I think, after reading your surprise in the article.
Yes.
You know, we only have a couple minutes left, Jennifer, but, you know, the community wrapped its arms around you initially. There was a flurry of excitement, you know, just activity level, and you got a lot of attention, and now you're coming up on a year and a half out. So you're in a year and a half out. You've started this apostolate called St. Paula's Young Catholic Widow Group on Facebook. But things are, you know, I don't know whether God has in his mind for things to slow down for you or things to pick up, because you have been asked to speak around town several times.
Yes.
And I don't think that's going to stop anytime soon. So what do you see yourself doing? What do you What goals or ideas do you have? And what are you doing? Do you work between 9 and 5?
No, I'm currently in grad school. I'm getting my master's to be a physician assistant.
Oh, good. Job security.
Yeah,
that's good.
Yeah,
that's
I actually started that program the Monday before Nate and I got married. So it was a very busy week. Okay. You know, and it's been hard. I've been through a lot while I've been in grad school. I got married. I got pregnant. I lost my husband. And then I had my baby. And throughout that, you know, this program's been a constant. I get done in November, and
oh,
I am
goodness,
so ready.
Right around the corner. Good.
Yeah, I'm. So you know, I'm excited to have that job security, and I do like the field that I'm going into. However, I also have such a heart and a calling now for helping other widows and helping those who suffer. And I do feel like that's going to be a big part of my life going forward. While I've been in school, I haven't had the time to dedicate to all of this that I want to. But Christina and I have been talking about doing more with Young Catholic Widows, you know, starting to have maybe a yearly retreat that we can meet up on, you know, doing, putting together talks and things that she and I can go around and do. So there's a lot of in the back burners, and, you know, maybe a year from now, I'd love to come back on and share with how far we've gotten with this. But
I'd love to have you back.
Yeah.
I'd love to have you back. Our guest today on Faith in Action, Jennifer Trapezzano, and you'll recognize the name. Her young husband, Nathan, was tragically killed. Murdered a year and a half ago when he was taking a stroll, walking around the block, a cold winter morning not too long ago. You know, we just have a little under a minute left. Mm-hmm. And I wondered if you could offer our listeners, maybe someone who's in a similar position, and talk to them just for a minute, heart to heart, and maybe offer them some consolation, something that maybe you would have liked to hear a couple years ago.
I would just say that don't lose hope. I think hope is so important, and even in your darkest hour, Christ is there to guide you. You know, when you're not sure where to go, turn to Him, turn to the Eucharist, go to church. And it may not be magic. You're not going to feel this overwhelming uplifting. You know, sometimes you may not feel any better, but the fact that you're going to Him, you know, that you're turning to Him will help you in the long run. And I think that's so important.
Amen. Amen. Beautifully said. Jennifer Trapezzano, our guest today on Faith in Action. God bless you. Thanks so much for being our guest.
Thank you so much.
You've been listening to Faith in Action, underwritten by Marian University and by Franciscan St. Francis Health. If you'd like to suggest a guest or a topic for a future program, call us at 317-870-8400 or email mj@catholicradioindy.org.